My dear brothers and sisters, on this, the 12th day of Christmas, the Church Universal and Local celebrates the beautiful solemnity of the Epiphany. And on this, the 12th day of Christmas, the Church reminds all humanity of something fundamental in the nature and in the person of Christ. Namely, Christ is Savior, not just simply of some people, not just simply of other people, not just simply of the Jewish people, but the Lord is announced to the world as universal Lord and Savior. All creation is subject to Him. All humanity is subject to Him. All human persons are offered His saving grace and His saving power. I wish you again a very happy and holy Christmas and a blessed 2014. And as Christians, we have been celebrating Christmas these past 12 days. And Christmas began for us as a liturgical season on Christmas Day. And we have, of course, the 12 days of Christmas, culminating today in the Feast of the Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas. And for those 12 days, we have celebrated each of those 12 days as if it were one long Christmas day, the 12 days of Christmas. Now we continue, of course, Christmastide, the holy season of Christmas, which very technically speaking only ends next Sunday after we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. So I urge you, if you can still possibly do it, please keep those decorations up. Please keep those lights lit. Please at least keep the manger front and center until Christmas season comes to a close, which is not until after the Masses are celebrated next Sunday, the baptism of the Lord. Because as Catholics, we do not just simply celebrate Christmas as a one-day event. It began as one day. We celebrated that one day for 12 days, and then we move into Christmastide, where we continue to rejoice and are glad. And throughout this Christmas season, we have celebrated many holy days and many solemnities and many feast days. I want to thank you for your wonderful participation in all of the holy days. I know it can be difficult. I know it can be very difficult, especially at this time of the year. But you have remained so faithful to keep coming back again and again and again and again for all the various holy days and celebrations that mark the holy season of Christmas. So today we have the Epiphany. Believe it or not, the Feast of the Epiphany is actually older than the Feast of Christmas Day. It's not older than the Nativity, but it's older than the Church's commemoration of Christmas Day. We have been commemorating Epiphany, Little Christmas, since the 2nd century. So in some ways it's a little older than the commemoration of the Nativity on Christmas Day. In the East, it's known as Little Christmas. It is in many ways even more important than the Nativity Day itself. But if we look to the manger, what is it that we are recalling today? Think first of all of the meaning of the word Epiphany. It comes from the word Epiphanos, which means to show, to manifest, to make known. What is being shown, manifested, made known as we gaze into the manger today? Of course, we see all the familiar characters. Our Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, the shepherds. One of the last Gospels we read was Christ revealing Himself to the shepherds. Now, additionally, we have three other rather different-looking characters, the three magi, the three wise men, bearing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they themselves not being Jewish. And this is important for the Feast of the Epiphany. When the Lord is born in the manger, He is revealed, first of all, to His own people as their Lord, their God, and their Savior. He comes first to His own. But importantly enough, He does not just remain Savior of His own. He has not just simply come to save His own. Salvation is from the Jews. The Lord first came to the Jews. But now in Christ, salvation is offered to everyone. And that's what Isaiah said to us in the first reading today. In the Old Testament scriptures, the house of Israel considered the meeting place with God in terms of the holy mountain. at the top of the holy mountain, that's where God was to be encountered. What does Isaiah say? On that mountain, the day will come when people will come from north, south, east, and west. Meaning, of course, that they will come from outside the household of faith, that they will be pagan people, and they will make their way to God, and they will bring with him the all of everything to do him homage. Isaiah actually promises and prophesies the day when even the pagan nations will come to recognize that he is Lord. So that's the promise and the prophecy. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, reminds us of this. He says, let me tell you something very clearly, and I'm paraphrasing. Christ is not only Savior of the Jews, he's not only your Savior, but I have to reveal something to you. The Gentiles, the pagans, the ones whom Jewish people, in common speech, commonly refer to as dogs. The dogs. Remember that famous story in the Gospel about scraps falling from the Master's table? And the Samaritan woman says, but the dogs can eat the scraps that fall from the Master's table. Quoting back to the Lord, the word commonly used of people like herself, dogs. Why? They're outside the covenant. They're outside the promises. They're meaningless. Doesn't matter. They'll simply go to hell, and that's just the way things are. Is that what the Lord prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures? Is that what St. Paul speaks about in the letter to the Ephesians? Not at all. He says the Gentiles are co-heirs. That's quite the word, actually. Not just simply they'll benefit from Christ, or they might be a little included, or the Lord will throw a few scraps their way. He's very clear when he says co-heirs. That's good news for all of us, that the Lord is salvation, Savior of all. Then the Gospel, of course, puts the icing on the cake. Because the shepherds are there already, God has revealed himself to his own already, and now comes the turn of the pagans, coming to him, adoring him, accepting him as Lord, God, and Savior. And notice how they discover that he is the Christ. They never had a catechism class. They never had a theology class. They probably never met Jewish people who, in those days, ever did anything for them, really, except hate them. And so they were not going to be terribly inspired. But what brings them to the manger? Well, they discover God through nature. They discover God through the natural sciences. They discover God through their own reason. They just simply put two and two together, and they come up with Christ. And so they begin to make their way to him. And there is this great epiphanos, this great manifestation. My dear friends, this is a tremendous truth of our faith, that Jesus is universal Lord and Savior. But what does it mean for us in 2014? A phrase that Francis has used many times, and I've seen it so many times in my life as a priest. He says, why is it that our Catholics leave Mass and have faces on them as if they had just attended a funeral? Why is that? Anywhere in the world that you go, funeral faces. I don't know why that is. It is only the minority, in my opinion, who experience the joy, both in the clergy and in the people. A minority of people I've met in my life who not only actually believe this, but their life is actually transformed by it. And that's our greatest struggle. It's not a judgment call, it's just simply my experience. It's been a minority, priests and people. Sometimes I meet somebody who's really into all of this, and that's always, always a joy. But that's what we're all called to. We're called to be into all of this. We're called to allow this to transform us. We're called to be different because of this. Now, setting aside the fact that I know on Sundays we get tired and the week has been a long one and it's early in the morning and it's cold outside, all the reasons for us to be glum and miserable, they're always present because our humanity can get in on top of us at times. But the Epiphany is a reminder to try and recapture the joy of Christmas, to try and recapture the joy of the Word made flesh and dwelling among us, to recapture the joy of hopefulness as we enter 2014. That when we leave religion and the things of religion, that the funeral face may be no more, and that we may actually begin to be really into this, that we may actually begin to really be transformed by all of this, that we may actually begin to see religion no longer in terms of rule and regulation and obligation and begrudging service, but that we may actually learn to love the Lord because He is lovable. Isn't that a tall order for any of us, beginning with myself? Of course it's a tall order. It's very difficult for us. But that is my prayer for you, and please make it your prayer for me as we journey through 2014, that all of this, that all of this might actually transform our lives. May the name of Jesus be blessed and praised now and forever. Amen.